joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, we have $18 synthetic prices in the wheat. We gapped higher overnight in the wheat. We're locked limit up this morning. On the ending stocks reports, we saw 20 million bushels come off the table. We have talk about hard red spring wheat pulling acres from soybeans and corn. How does all this wheat play out over the next week?
Well, we're going to try and say at this point, Dave, when the either we get the swing objective of $12.90, and that's a $5.50 run off of the November 11th low, November 12th low of around $7.40 3/4. Once we get that $5.50 run on top of that $7.40, we're going to be running at about $12.90, and we think between that and when the March futures goes into delivery and gets ready to expire, we're thinking there's going to be an interim high here. Could be a final high, but that's going to really depend on how we break in dormancy in the Central Plains. But while we're gearing up this morning after the USDA's report with our clients over the email and phone conversations is, let's go all the way up to 100% hedged in 08 wheat this next dollar and a half. Let's get up to 25% in 09 wheat. We may stretch that farther depending on how the next week looks. But the major reason for that is that synthetic price you're talking about. We've got to believe economically that we're starting to kill demand. We've got to believe that spring wheat acres are indeed going to be robbed by especially soybeans in the Plain States. I think most importantly is we've been running 109 million metric ton global ending stocks figure here on our books for about 4 months. USDA's down around 109.7 after this morning. We just don't think the crop's going to get that much tighter until we find out more about the Northern Hemisphere. So between those fundamentals and the structure of the cash market and the hard spring wheat market, and then you look at the gaps in the chart and this technical swing objective we've been talking about for, you know, since our West Lafayette seminar and maybe even a little bit before that, things are starting to add up that we're getting into that top third, top 25% of the final price, we believe.
So that's 1290 Chicago Board of Trade wheat.
That's exactly right.
Yes,
front end Chicago wheat.
Just want to make sure what contracts we're talking about and what
good point, Dave.
And which exchange we're talking about.
Good point. Yeah, and Minneapolis is looking at extending their limits to 40 cents Monday night. They've actually appealed to the CFTC for approval to get limits in March lifted completely after non-cereal options expire, which would be around the February 25th time period. We would think if that would happen, and we don't see any reason why it wouldn't, if the CFTC agrees to that, we would think that that would also kind of clean house on the speculative side of things, too. So that kind of matches our price and time objectives that we've laid out here.
All right, then. What does all of this mean to corn and soybeans, and how do producers capture some of this bounty?
Well, I think first and foremost that if you have a wheat high in place, you will probably start to work into a mindset in Chicago that you're going to have a corn and bean high in place unless you see something drastic change in China in terms of ramping up imports due to either their weather problems or due to their government policies or due to the Olympics or something like that. You're probably going to need a government shift in China, or it's going to be the old-fashioned weather market in the July-August time frame here in the United States. So once wheat tops, we essentially feel like you're going to have to rely upon the government and the weather, and that means to us, don't rely upon those two things. Go ahead and get hedged in the corn and beans. I think most important with the wheat market is the fact that corn has probably got the biggest liability to it from a standpoint of feed being cut down, and if the wheat market would top, you'd lose some of your psychology. And I think also your hard spring wheat acres, like I said, will probably come mainly out of bean acres. So if anything's got better ability to hold risk premium at this stage, if the wheat tops, we would think the beans would have a little bit better ability to do that. Corn may be a little bit more vulnerable. But all that aside, Dave, I think those trend lines that we've been talking about for many months in the March corn and March beans, you know, we hit it yesterday on the nuts on the March corn at 491. That line is now up to 493. I think it's really important that we stay above that line, especially with this kind of a wheat market. If we don't, then we're going to assume a 12 to 20% correction. But clearly what we're going to do here as we sell wheat, especially as we get into the latter half of February, we've always had the plan to sell and hedge corn and beans for 08 as well, because farmers are going to be getting into those tractor cabs very, very soon. We want to have the plan laid out before they do that.
So do I want to be 100% hedged corn and beans at a 1290 Chicago Board of Trade lead option wheat.
If we can get the December corn above 575 and the November beans above 1375, yes, we would want to be that. We would be primarily corn put buyers and forward contractors of beans with November calls underneath us.
Wow. That's all I can say about this wheat market. And I kind of wonder, though, if given the disappearance we're seeing in the soybeans, are we potentially setting ourselves up for a similar picture in the soybeans if we lose a couple, 3-5 million bushels, metric tons, rather, in either Argentina or Brazil?
I think it's a key point of why the beans probably have a little bit better life to them here in the short term than the corn does. It's going to be really tricky because you could argue it either way. You could say, well, the Board of Trade price has already got the Argentine and Brazilian crop down below 105 million metric tons. The price model would say that, Dave, that they are working more in a line of 100 million metric tons combined. USDA gave us 107.5. But we've also got continued problems in northern Brazil at this point, and no one can really get their finger on it. So I think the next 2 weeks are going to determine the price action for the lead month beans and the front end beans. There's nothing anyone can say about anything but good they can say about crush margins. Even the USDA noted that in their commentary on this morning's report. The livestock industry is really not backing down at all, especially the poultry and the hogs. Crush margins are phenomenal right now. There was a small build in soy oil stocks, that's something to take note of. But by and large, that meal market is still very, very strong, and that's going to add some support to the beans as well. I think you can see by the trade, and especially between the last week here, the corn has not really done a lot with a limit-up wheat rally. It's tried, but then there's been profit-taking. Beans, however, have held on the gains. I think that means a lot to the trade right now, especially when we talk to our Chicago contacts at EFG.
So do the bull spreads continue to work within the soybeans?
I would not be in bull spreads at this point.
Okay.
I think mainly because of the South American crop coming on, and I think also because the corn bull spreads have given up, and we've gone back to a carrying charge in the July Dease corn spread. I think the May and July Nove spreads in beans may be only tracking higher, primarily with the wheat. I got a call this morning from a good friend in the pits, and he said the March-May wheat spread reverse thrusters about 45 cents in overnight trade on very heavy volume because guys were caught. And so I think that short-term spread trade in wheat is actually being picked up in the bean market as well. Probably wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole right now.
Anything else you would like to add?
That'll do it, Dave.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you, sir.
Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. He joins us every Friday morning on the opening Commodity Market Report.